Well, good morning again. How is everyone? Good, good. It's supposed to be almost 70 degrees today, and then 50 by the end of the week, so just so you know. So I want to thank Andy for being here again. He has led us in worship over the last several weeks, and his time with us draws to a close next Sunday morning. And so we want to thank him for being here, and I want to thank our team for being so diligent in their worship and serving us in their worship. So over the next couple of weeks, after Andy wraps up his time with us, we have an individual coming to fill in for a couple of Sundays. They'll be new to us, new to me, and so we're looking forward to that as well. And then following Easter, we have all the way through Easter covered, and then we have conversations about what post-Easter looks like through some different resources that we have available. So continue to pray that those schedules all line up and coverage for worship here takes place through that process, and that the process of looking for a music team leader and family ministry and all of that goes well. We are in the process. The job listing has been posted out and all that, and so the Slingshot group is in the process of starting to vet candidates, and we'll start presenting candidates to us at some point soon. So just a quick update on that as well. This message today is one that had a plan, and then as I got into the prep process, the focus of the message kind of shifted and began to narrow down. And so the plan was to go through four chapters in the book of Acts by 5 o'clock tonight. It was to go through four chapters in the book of Acts and explore Paul's pattern in going town to town during what was known as his second missionary journey. As I went through the prep process, I just kept getting focused in on one interaction in those four chapters. And so instead of looking at four chapters, we're going to look at five verses. So the person back running the screens is like, yes, five verses, five slides, basically, and all that. Just so you know, whoever's running it coming up at some point, there's an upcoming message that has 100 slides in it. So I don't know who has that Sunday on the computer, but there's one coming that has 100 slides in it. So, they'll be probably about 8 to 10 slides today. And so they're celebrating, and the person now that is looking for 100 has great tragedy in their lives. So I'm glad that we took the opportunity to put that into perspective around communion. So, so the early church leader, Paul, had gone through what is known as his first missionary journey. He went through the region, and he began to raise up churches and church leaders. He traveled with a guy named Barnabas. And he and Barnabas, after the first missionary journey, took a trip to Jerusalem to get an answer to the question about what part of the Jewish law people becoming followers of Jesus had to follow and what they didn't have to follow and what are their Greek customs and Roman customs they had to give up and all that. After that, they returned to a town called Antioch, and they stayed in Antioch for quite some time, and that's where we pick up this encounter that takes place. So here's what it says. It says, after some time in Antioch, so after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. So after some time away, they had left these churches as they traveled through the region, and they left the people who had become followers of Jesus, and those people were being inundated with different kind of messaging. They were being inundated with, there are certain aspects of the Jewish law you have to follow. If you don't follow the Jewish law, you can't become a follower of Jesus. Then there were other ones who were saying, you have to give up the Greek and Roman customs. And so they were pulled in different directions. Very naturally in the culture and the context, they were pulled in different directions. Paul had clearly communicated in each and every town what it meant to follow Jesus. But as they started living that out, and they started living out their faith, they began to be pulled by these different perspectives about Jewish customs and about Greek and Roman customs. And so Paul wanted to go back. And one commentator says that the concern that Paul, that is noted here about Paul for the people, is much of the same concern that motivated him to write the letters that he wrote to churches. And those letters that he wrote, not all of them, some of the letters that he wrote make up about two-thirds of what we know as the New Testament of the Bible. And it is this concern for people living out their faith and staying aligned in relationship with Jesus that motivated Paul to write them, and it motivated him to want to go back. And it makes sense that he would go with Barnabas. Barnabas was a Jewish guy, very influential in the early church, became known as the son of encouragement. His Jewish name was Joseph, but because of how he supported and encouraged people, he became known as Barnabas because of his encouragement. He and Paul had a very strong, loyal relationship. When Paul first became a follower of Jesus after he met the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus, the other people who were followers of Jesus were very, very skeptical of Paul's conversion. Before his conversion, he was committed to eliminating the Jesus way. As a Jewish religious leader, he went through the region and he persecuted followers of Jesus, even willing to put some to death. And so when he became a follower of Jesus, they were skeptical. It was Barnabas who took a stand for Paul and advocated for Paul. It was Barnabas who invited Paul to come to Antioch and to begin ministering and serving the Gentiles. It was Barnabas who went to the leaders in the early church in Jerusalem when Paul first visited Jerusalem, and they were skeptical there. It was Barnabas who advocated for him there. And so they had a very strong and loyal relationship. So it would make sure that it would make sense that he would go to Barnabas and say, let's go back to where we had just been and let's encourage people in as they follow Jesus. So Luke, the author of Acts, then tells us, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. Well, that begs the question, who's this John Mark guy? Barnabas says, yeah, it's a good idea, let's go do this, but let's take John Mark along with us. John Mark is Barnabas' nephew. And John Mark had traveled with Paul and Barnabas during part of the first missionary journey. They got to a certain place, a town called Perga, and when they got there, Luke tells us that John Mark left. That John Mark left Paul and Barnabas and returned home. The word that's translated wanted there, the Greek word, it is a strong word and a strong tense. The Greek has a bunch of different tenses, like we have past, present, future. They have like past aorist, future aorist, and I mean, they have all these different nuances that carry different meanings and force of word. The word here, when it says Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along, this is like an adamant, determined, insistent type of thing. When he started talking about this trip, he said, and we will take John Mark with us. So that's kind of the dynamic there in him wanting to take him. And then he says, but Paul disagreed strongly. Now, we may wonder, why did Paul disagree strongly? Well, John Mark left. Now, we aren't given any, I had never heard of that word before, and so I looked it up, and it says that it is a strong and almost violent reaction or expression of an emotion or hostility. That's what the word paroxysm means in the English language. So this is a strong, intense disagreement between two people that had experienced such strong bond and such loyal relationship. They had just come off the unity that was expressed in the Jerusalem Council, which we looked at in Acts chapter 15. And how the question, and so they just come off all that, and they spent some time in Antioch, and then they decide to take this trip, and they're probably looking forward to it, and then they have this disagreement over John Mark. Paul, as adamant as Barnabas is that John Mark should go, Paul is just as adamant that he should not. And then we're given the reason. It says, because since John Mark had deserted, and the word for deserted there, the English word doesn't do justice to the intent of the Greek word. The Greek word literally means one who stood aloof or turned away. And so it isn't that just he left, he stood aloof and turned away. It says he deserted them in Pamphylia. I said Pergam, that's wrong, it's Pamphylia, and had not continued with them in their work. And Paul was dedicated. Paul was intent on the mission that he'd been given. Paul was committed to traveling the region and inviting people to follow Jesus. And so was Barnabas. And they went through this together, and he had deserted them in their work. Again, we're not given any reason why John Mark left. We're not given details. We don't even know what the arrangement was that John Mark signed on to when he went with them. We don't know if he had certain responsibilities. We don't know if he committed to a certain time frame. We don't know if it, we don't know any of that. And here's the danger with not knowing for most of us. The danger in not knowing for most of us is, in the absence of information, we tend to speculate. And when we tend to speculate, we tend to not give people the benefit of the doubt. We tend to judge and maybe even condemn and all that type of stuff. And so, since we aren't given reason as to why John Mark left, here's a list of speculative reasons John Mark left that I compiled from different theological commentaries that I looked at when I put this message together. So the translation of that is that these are speculations about why John Mark left from people who are far, far smarter than me. Okay? The first one is that he was homesick, that he missed Jerusalem. He wanted to go back home, and he wanted to see his mom, whose name was Mary, and so he was just simply homesick. The other is that the rigors and demands of the work were just too much. He just got tired, and it was more than he wanted to do, and so he went back home. The distant travel to unknown regions. As they traveled through these things, they didn't always know what they were going to get into. They didn't always know where they were going next. They didn't know how far. And the travel just became too much for him, and he didn't want to travel anymore. That John Mark was a sissy boy. Oh, I'm sorry. It says fear, lack of courage, and perseverance. That John Mark was afraid. They'd encountered opposition. They'd encountered persecution. He'd seen what had happened to Paul in different places. And he was afraid that he was going to get caught up in the guilt by association thing, so he wanted to go home. There's some evidence that Paul experienced an illness while he traveled. They said it's likely he suffered a form of malaria, and that the changes that were required as a result of Paul's illness, that John Mark wasn't interested in making those changes to accommodate Paul's illness, and so he left. The other is that that John Mark was a fan of Peter, and that he preferred Peter over Paul because his mom's name was Mary. Peter, Paul, Mary. And that he preferred Peter's work with the Jews, so he returned to Jerusalem to work with Peter because Paul was focused primarily on the Gentiles. And then there's the objection to Gentiles who were choosing to follow Jesus that were not required to go through the synagogue and the Jewish process as a result of that. That he resented Paul's popularity. Paul was becoming more popular than Barnabas, and Barnabas was his uncle, and so he resented the popularity of Paul. And then the other is that he was so opposed to the work that Paul was doing among the Gentiles that he went back to Jerusalem to warn the church about what Paul was doing, and that John Mark was at the center of the controversy and the question in Acts 15. Now, that's a lot of baggage to put on somebody. And we don't know. We don't know why he left. All we know is that he left. And so it begs the question, when it comes down, since we don't know, it begs the question, who was right? Was Paul right? Or was Barnabas right? Luke does not write this in such a way that gives us any indication that he says one was right and one was wrong. He writes this in a way that tells us how they responded and what happened as a result. He tells us that the disagreement was sharp, that the disagreement was so sharp that they decided to part ways. And so because the disagreement was so sharp and they decided to part ways, it doesn't mean that one was wrong and it doesn't mean that one was right. It means that two people with similar experiences traveling through the region saw the exact same circumstance, the opportunity to go again and to travel together and to take John Mark with them, and they made very different decisions. Now, this might be something. The lesson in this for some of us might be that there might be wisdom in the silence. We tend to speculate. We tend to draw conclusions. We tend to even pass judgment in the absence of information. And sometimes in the absence of information, it's not necessarily that one's right and one's wrong. It's just that there's different. And sometimes in the silence, we need to stop passing judgment. So, here's what happens. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. And there's that proxicism word again. And then it says, Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. So whatever the disagreement was, Barnabas decided that John Mark should have a second chance. And in some ways that would make sense. After all, he was family. Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement because there was something about him that he was able to discern spiritual character traits in other people that other people were not able to discern. One of the best examples of this is Paul, where he advocated for Paul, where he stood up for Paul, where he saw that God wanted to do something through Paul. And so he must have seen something in John Mark. He must have seen something that in John Mark that prompted him to want to give him a second chance. It seems that maybe Barnabas was right in giving John Mark the benefit of the doubt. Cyprus was where Barnabas was from. It was kind of his hometown, and it was the first place that he and Paul went. And so when Barnabas takes John Mark, he goes back to Cyprus and he starts that part of their first missionary journey again. Well, it says Paul chose Silas. Silas was a Greek citizen, whereas Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance. Paul didn't. And there's some understanding in this. I mean, they were involved in the first missionary journey. They were involved in the work. Luke tells us that John Mark left before a lot of the intense opposition and persecution. He had seen a little bit of it, but before things got too bad for Paul and stuff was inflicted on Paul, that John Mark left before that. And so for whatever reason, it appears that Paul likely felt a sense of betrayal, a sense of rejection. And I don't know about you, but like for me, if I was going to take a trip like this, and I knew that I was probably going to encounter some tough stuff along the way, because I'd already encountered tough stuff along the way in those places previously, I don't know that I would want somebody to go with me who walked away the first time. I think I would want someone to go with me who was dependable and reliable and trustworthy. Somebody who was going to support me when things got tough. Somebody who was going to have my back when things got challenging. Somebody who was willing to stick with me through thick and thin. Somebody who was willing to be there when things got tough. And I think Paul probably thought, you know what? If we take John Mark again, then when things get tough, he's going to go home. That's what he did last time. And so he chose Silas. And here's one of the cool things about this part of the story. The disagreement that they had, and again, the wording that's there, it means that it was an intense exchange, but it's not a word that carries any kind of, they like hated each other as a result of it. There was no ill will, there was no animosity, there was no, I mean, it was just a sharp disagreement. And it says that when Barnabas chose John Mark and Paul chose Silas and they went separate ways, the wording is that they amicably agreed to divide the work of the first missionary journey among them, and one take part and one take the other part. So here's what happened. The team grew. Instead of one team, there were now two teams. And instead of Paul and Barnabas doing it together, now it was Barnabas and John Mark doing it, and Paul and Silas doing it, and there were other people that traveled with them. So, you know, we tend to step back and say, well, one had to be right and one had to be wrong. You know what? God used it to grow what happened in the early church. God used it to launch two teams instead of one. And Paul tells us, and as he left, meaning Paul left, and that's an interesting thing there because at this point in the storyline, Barnabas disappears. We don't ever know any more about Paul and Barnabas. We don't know any more about what happened with Barnabas. History tells us that Barnabas was burned to death in Cyprus at something called the Hippodrome. History tells us that. But as far as from the biblical narrative, there's no more information about Barnabas. He just disappears. This is not a testament to Luke saying that Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong. It's probably a testament to say that Luke's attention shifted and focused to the work that Paul did, because guess who Luke traveled with? Luke traveled with Paul. And so it says that the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Maybe it isn't that one was right and one was wrong. Maybe both were right and both were a little wrong. Maybe Barnabas was right that John Mark deserved a second chance. And maybe Paul was right that John Mark didn't. And maybe Barnabas was right in choosing John Mark, and maybe Paul was right in choosing Silas. Maybe both were right and both were wrong, but maybe God was right in every way. You know, again, Barnabas disappears. We don't know anything more about him. We don't have any record that Paul and Barnabas, who had such a strong, loyal relationship, ever saw or spoke to each other again. They might have. We don't know. We don't have that information. We do know that in the first letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth, Paul speaks favorably of Barnabas. So again, no animosity and no hostility. We don't really have any record of what Barnabas and John Mark did on their travel. We have a lot of record about what Paul did. But in the absence of information, we left to speculate, and sometimes we don't speculate well. What we do know, and this is one of the coolest parts of this little encounter, what we do know is that down the road, Paul and John Mark reconcile. You've heard me a few times refer to him as John Mark. You've also heard me refer to him as Mark. And there's one of the four Gospels that is entitled Mark and is written by a guy named John Mark. John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark about the life of Jesus. In a letter that Paul writes to 2 Timothy, writes to a young guy named Timothy, we have one of the coolest evidences that he and John Mark reconciled. At the end of this letter to Timothy, and Paul writes 2 Timothy from prison. It's not like he writes from when he was on house arrest in Rome and he could travel around freely. When Paul writes 2 Timothy, he is literally shackled to a wall in chains. And he knows that his death is imminent. He knows that he's going to be executed. History tells us that Paul was beheaded under the Emperor Nero. He knows that his execution is coming. So he writes to Timothy this second letter to get all of his affairs in order, including this. So when he asks for his cloak, he asks for Timothy to visit him soon. And he asks him to bring his cloak, his parchments, his books, and John Mark. So I think when this sharp disagreement occurred, I wonder if Paul had any idea that this mama's boy would write the Gospel of Mark, one of the accounts of Jesus' life. And I wonder if he ever realized that John Mark would travel to Egypt and launch the Coptic Church, and that John Mark would eventually be put to death in Egypt because of his choice to follow Jesus. Yeah, these five verses are an amazing story. Two guys that have such a strong, loyal relationship that have a disagreement. And it wasn't over anything theological. It wasn't over anything about what it meant to follow Jesus. It was over somebody else. It was over John Mark. It was over whether he should be given a second chance to travel with him. Barnabas said yes, Paul said no. So they decided to separate and go their separate ways. And through that, the church gets started in Egypt. Paul does his thing everywhere that he goes. Barnabas does whatever he does. And the church continues to grow. And the gospel continues to be preached more and more to the everywhere that Jesus told them that it would be. Maybe both of them were right. But there is no question that God was right. So guess what? There are times, and just so you know, Barnabas was burned to death, Paul was beheaded, and John Mark was dragged to his death in Egypt. So guess what? There are times that we disagree. And there are times that we have sharp disagreement. And when we disagree, we oftentimes draw a line and say one has to be right and one has to be wrong. And I'm not convinced it's always the way it needs to be. Sometimes we can literally have differences of opinion and not have to be disagreeable and hateful. You know, again, there's no evidence that this impacted the relationship between Paul and Barnabas long term. Paul spoke favorably of him. Paul reconciled with John Mark. And I think that's possible, even when we disagree. It is possible to disagree agreeably, and it is possible to disagree in ways that we can reconcile and not draw lines in the sands and damage relationship. So, I'm ready to move on to the rest of the four chapters. How about you? All right. Let me pray for us. We'll wrap up our time together, and then we'll roll the preview video for next week. When the preview video is over, we're dismissed. Again, thank you for being here and spending this part of your day with us. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you that through this part of what Luke writes in the book of Acts, that we can discover and uncover that even people as strong and loyal and as influential as Paul and Barnabas can have disagreements, and even sharp disagreements, and disagreements where we determine to go separate ways because there's just a difference of opinion about how things should be done, and that's okay. But help us as we speculate and as we judge and as we draw our own conclusions, help us to discern and to be wise enough to take a step back and to say this may not be a matter of right and wrong. It may be a matter of preference. And when it is a matter of right and wrong, help us to take a stand and to be strong and firm in our stance about things that are clearly right and clearly wrong. But on matters of preference and matters of opinion, help us to be gracious. Help us to be loving. Help us to be compassionate with one another. And help us to know that no matter whether we're right and they're wrong, or they're right and we're wrong, or nobody's wrong and everybody's right, that you are always right. And so help us to discern right and wrong through your right and nothing else. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.